Isaiah chapter 31, verse 2 is one of those verses that if you're not careful as you're reading along in your Bible, you'll miss an important phrase in it. We read it. It said, "Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity." This morning I want to preach a sermon entitled, "God Will Not Call Back His Words." He will not call back his words. Now, some of you at the end might feel cheated because I only got 2 points this morning, but I've thrown in a poem to make up for it, so you'll get your money's worth. All right? You know, sometimes when we were kids, somebody would say something about you or say something about your mom or your dad, and you grab them and twist their arm behind their back and say, "Take it back, take it back." And if you were bigger than them and could inflict enough pain on them, they would say, "Okay, I take back what I said." I want you to know this morning there's nobody, no force, nobody in heaven, nobody under the heavens, nobody in this earth that can force God to take back his words. And what he says is, "I will not take them back. I said it, I'll never undo it, I'll never take my words back." Now, let me just tell you, just for sake of background, let me just tell you what was going on when Isaiah wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when Isaiah wrote this chapter and what was going on in the life of Israel. There was a king of Syria named, and I probably won't say this right, Sennacherib, who was the Hitler of his day. He was attacking God's people, the nation of Israel. Over 200,000 Hebrews had been taken captive. 46 of their cities had fallen. And the worst thing is that their beloved king, the king Hezekiah, the king that led Judah in one of the greatest revivals they ever had, was off his throne. He was gone. The people didn't know where he was. He was the one that they looked to for their security. He's the one they looked to and said, "Well, I can have hope in my life because King Hezekiah is sitting on the throne." And they had confidence. I mean, he was their leader. He was their king. And as they looked toward his throne, they didn't see him. He was gone. He was in hiding against Assyria. And again, I don't have time to tell you all the things that the atrocities that the Syrians and the ruthlessness they showed toward the Israelites. Just think about Hitler and all the things that he did to God's people, and you get an idea of what this wicked king did. And because of this, of their distress at this time, instead of depending on God, the nation of Israel formed an alliance with the Egyptians, with those that are in Egypt, and they hired the Egyptians to help protect them. Now, this was not God's will. In fact, to make an alliance with an ungodly nation is still not right in God's sight today. I mean, we don't need to make alliances with nations that don't serve our God. But they made an alliance with the Egyptians. And God was coming to him, to them through his prophets and said, "Look, I want you to remember something. I've sent word to you by my prophets that I'm going to help you. I sent word to you by my prophets that I will be your protection. I sent word by the prophets that I would give you what you need and that I would make sure that everything turns out okay." And what he was saying is, that's still true. That's still, what I told you is still true. I'm not going to take it back. And the Jews were in a place, as they looked at what was going on, as they looked at the circumstances in their life, as they looked at what the Syrians were doing to their nation, as they looked to their throne and didn't see their king, their security, their confidence, they said, "How could it be? God, what you say and what we see is two different things. I mean, we just don't understand how your word can be true, and yet you're allowing all this to happen to us." And God said, look, I know what you're going through. I know that you look toward the throne and you don't see your beloved king. By the way, I know where he is. You don't, but I do. I know that you have been dependent on him. I know that you have trusted him for your security. But he says, your king shall reign again. The king of righteousness shall reign. He'll reign in righteousness. Hezekiah is coming back, and he'll sit on that throne again. And so what he was saying to his people was, quit doubting me. My words are true. I will not call them back. I have not changed my mind. You believe in me, and I'll take care of you. You know, a lot of us, and not to the same degree, but a lot of us can identify with the Israelites. There's a lot of things going on in our world right now and in our nation right now that make it look bleak for people. Some are really discouraged. They're discouraged because some physical ailment has come into their life, and there's no cure for that ailment, and they've had to learn to live with that physical condition that causes them pain, that causes them discomfort, and they know that it's going to be with them the rest of their life. Others are discouraged because they've lost a loved one. And they are having to learn to adjust, to live life, for the most part, alone. I mean, they have other family members, but when you lose your husband or your wife, somebody that you've lived with for 40 or 50 or 60 years, it's a time of adjustment. And you can talk to the widows in the church, and they'll tell you it doesn't matter how long it's been. Every day is a time of adjustment. Other people are discouraged because of what the economy is doing. And many of you have maybe seen your savings depleted, and you've seen the value of your 401k and your IRAs go down because of what's going on in the economy. And again, I could go on and give you other reasons, but if you have a different reason than those three, just think about it for a little bit. And again, you may be a little discouraged, maybe a little bit down. I got up this morning, I was praising the Lord because it was so overcast. I said, Lord, to this morning just fits right in with my sermon. Today pictures how most people, or a lot of people, feel in today's world. It's black, it's gray, it's a sprinkling a little bit. The sun is not shining. We look toward heaven and we say, boy, if God is God, why is he letting all this go on? If God is really God, why isn't he controlling the circumstances of my life better? If God is really God, why can't I feel encouraged? Why can't I be on top? And this morning, I just want to be your pastor for a few minutes. And I want to remind you that God is still God. And even though we may look toward the throne in heaven and not see him sitting on the throne, he is sitting there. And one day the clouds will roll away and the fog will lift, and we will see the King of Kings, our God, and know that every word that he said to us is true. So this morning, if you have a broken heart, if you have had a setback, if you have a disease or a mental condition, and if you might be thinking, boy, if God really knew what was going on in my life, he would change this, he would fix this, and you don't think that he sees what's going on, and you don't think that he cares, let me remind you this morning that he does. Again, I mentioned I only have 2 points this morning. Number one, you will see the king again. You'll see the king again. The Bible says the whole world shall see him, and every knee bow, as Adam sang a minute ago, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We may not be able to see him because of the fog of despair. We may not be able to see him because the clouds have blocked our vision. But one day all those will lift and we'll look toward that throne in heaven and we'll know that there is a king that sits on that throne. And then number two, my second point. Now don't worry, this will be a little bit longer than the first one. I see some, boy, can't be getting done. I'm not. Hang on, I'm not done. Second point, God will not call back his words. He said it there in Isaiah chapter 31, verse 2. Yea, he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words. Over and over in the Bible, God reminds us that what he has promised, he will do. I think that's what he was saying in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What Jesus was saying, he said, listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. There is a heaven. There is a place that all in my family will go one day to live. If it wasn't true, I would have told you. But it is true. And I will not call back my words. You know, I'm going to heaven. Some people think they're going to heaven because they're good looking. I know that's not true in my case. Some people think they're going to heaven because they're so smart. I know that's not true in my case. In fact, last Sunday night, Linda came out and said, preacher, we're going to have an English lesson for you to talk about this, 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 and this. She was helping me with my English last week. I'm not going to heaven because I'm smart. I am going to heaven because one day as a teenage boy, I bowed on my knee in my pastor's study and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. There is a heaven. There is a place that all in God's family one day are going to go to live with him forever. And God will not change that. It will not change. You can anchor your soul in the fact that there is a heaven and our Savior is there now preparing a place for us. He will not call back his word. In Isaiah, a few chapters over, in chapter 40, verse 8, the Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And just as sure as victory came to Judah, just like Isaiah told him it would, because God sent a plague, he killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. 185,000 of them in one night. They called off the war. Hezekiah came back and sat on the throne, and they celebrated a great victory. And even though we're in the midst of despair this morning, even though we're a little discouraged this morning, and even though we can't understand what's going on in our lives and in the world this morning, one day we will walk on the street of heaven and we will celebrate the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. It will happen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We may not be able to see it now. We may not be able to understand it. We may not be able to reason it out. But God says, look, it's true. All things do work together to them that love the Lord. You may not be able to understand how it's working for good, but I will not call back my words. It will work for good. He said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I know there's people in our church that have said to me recently, Pastor, I just cannot go on. I just don't know what to do next. I think I have reached my limit. And I've told them, as I tell you this morning, God knows what your limit is. He knows how much you can handle. Sometimes we think that he puts on us more than we're capable of handling. But that's not true. Because he said in 1 Corinthians, there hath no temptation or time of testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Some of you have heavy loads. I know you do. I know because you've told me some of the things that are going on in your life, and you bear a heavy burden this morning. But I want to remind you that your God knows how much you can carry. Your God knows how much you can tote. Your God knows how much that he can put on you without breaking you. And he says, look, I will never, ever overload you. I will never put more on you than you can handle. And he says, I will not call back my words. He said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you know that you have a God in heaven that knows exactly what you need? As an individual, he knows what you need as an individual. And the Bible says that he will meet every one of those needs. Not some, not a few, not that you have to pick and choose, but everything that we need, he'll meet. He'll meet. Now, I don't know about you. Even though there's a lot of things going on, and even though, you know, I might at days get worried about my pension and all that other stuff, and you might too. You listen to me. There's a God in heaven that owns a cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth in every mine. I'm dependent on him. Not on some company, not on some economy, not on some politicians. I mean, God's given us all that, and that's fine. But I'm depending on him that he's going to meet every one of my needs. And he'll meet every one of your needs. He promised it. He will not call back his word. Are you brokenhearted this morning? Again, I'll go back to John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, I have to go see the doctor in a couple weeks, and I'm taking a couple pills, cholesterol, and I don't even know what the other one's for. I'm going to go in and say, hey, doc, did you ever see this verse? It says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. I believe in God. You think I can get off these pills? You'll probably say no, but I'm going to try it. Give me a chance to talk to him about Jesus a little bit. Look. We're brokenhearted this morning, and I know many and many of you are about things that are going on. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Are you fearful this morning? In Psalm 91, the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. He will not take back his words. I have some others. Let me just read the verses. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You listen to me. I don't care what's going on in your life this morning. You've got a God that can solve it. I know some of you have said, I just don't know what to do. It's just this situation. There's no answer. Yes, there is. God's got an answer. We may not understand it. We may not agree with the answer he's got. But there is nothing too hard for God. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. We got a God that hears our prayers. In Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You delight yourself in the things of God. He'll give you the desires, and then he'll satisfy those desires. Hebrews 13:5, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's promised us in this book. He says, and I'm not going to take back my words. They're not subject to recall. They're not subject to a retraction. I have said them. I mean them. You can count on them. I'm not going to call them back. Let me say it in another way. I told you that I love you. A changeless love is mine. An infinite love I give you, a love that's all divine. I told you that I love you with love that has no lack. My promise is eternal. I will not take it back. I told you that I'm with you I'll never walk away. My precious Holy Spirit is in your heart to stay. I told you that I'm with you. My presence knows no lack. Don't doubt my words, dear children. I'll never take them back. I told you I'd protect you neath angels carrying wings. So when in prison's darkness my child with praises sings, I told you I'd protect you. My power has no lack. These words that I have spoken, I never will take them back. I told you of my comfort to meet the storm's chill blast. I'll never, never leave you as long as life doth last. I'll put my caring mantle around you soft and warm and walk the path beside thee, protecting you from harm. I told you of my comfort. My solace cannot lack, for once my words are spoken, I cannot take them back. I told you that I see you through all your lifelong race. No darkness e'er can hide thee from your dear Savior's face. I told you that I see you. My vision bears no lack. So trust my words, dear faint one. I will not take them back. I told you that I'd feed you with needed daily bread. Then neath my traveling shadow, I'll tuck you into bed. My cupboards have no lack, so do not doubt my promise. I'll never take it back. For every word I've spoken is in my book to stay. Not one lone tiny promise will ever pass away. My word holds forth the answer. Whate'er thy soul doth lack, so trust them, wavering children. I'll never take them back. You hurting this morning? Brokenhearted? Feel like you can't face tomorrow? You listen to me. There's promises in this book that are just for you. I mean, they're for everybody, but they're just for you. The situation you face, the hardship that you have, the heartbreak that you have, God's put them in this book for you, and he will never take them back. You know, one of the promises that he puts in here is in John chapter 5, verse 24, where the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." Jesus was talking about himself. You know, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners, and there's a penalty for that sin. And that penalty is to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. But he said, if you hear my word that tells you that you're a sinner, that tells you what the penalty is, and tells you how much we loved you, how much God the Father loved you when he sent his son to die in your place, how much Jesus loves you as he came and lived among us without sin and went to the cross and died for every one of our sins, how much the Holy Spirit loves us as he woos us to that Savior and convinces us and tries to get us to come. And we hear about the love that the God had for each of us as individuals. And that verse says, the promise says, you hear my word and you believe on him that sent me. You believe what the Bible says, that you're a sinner, that there's a penalty for that sin, that Jesus paid the price, and that if you just come and ask him, he'd save you. He's not going to take back that word either. He will not call it back. You know, I'm glad that my salvation is anchored in the promises of God. I'm glad that my salvation is not based on something that some man did, because man would mess it up. I'm glad that salvation is not based on something that I had to do, because I would mess it up. I'm glad that my salvation is based on something that God did that can never be messed up, that will stand the test of eternity forever and ever and ever and ever. That one day, when this old body dies, I'll go to be in the presence of the Lord. If you're here this morning and you haven't claimed that promise, that's the first one you need to claim. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, That's the first thing you need to do. And you just come and say, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the punishment of sin, but I'm trusting Jesus to save me. And I'm asking him to be my Savior this morning. As I tell people all the time, as I told Laura's mom on Monday, I'm not asking her to become a Baptist. In fact, she said to me, well, I don't want to go to your church. I said, you don't have to come to our church. In fact, I don't want you to come to our church. It's too far from you. You need to get to a church that's close to you. I'm not asking you to be a Baptist. I'm not asking you to come to our church. I am asking you to get a home in heaven. I am asking you to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And she bowed her head and we bowed her head. And a couple of the deacons were with me and they were with Laura across the room praying. And Laura's mom said, after we prayed, she said, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. And at the very moment, her name was written in the book of life, just like yours can be this morning. Just like yours can be this morning if you just say that simple prayer, Jesus, save me. Save me. He'll not call back his words. He will do it if we'll ask him. And so if you're here this morning, I beg you to do that. Don't care how many times you've been here. Maybe you're a regular. Maybe this is your first time here. It doesn't matter. You need a Savior. Jesus is the only one that works. You need to come to him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the promises that are in this book. Thank you, you're a God that keeps every one of them, that you won't call any of them back. Not one little lone promise will ever pass away. They're all good forever. And so I pray this morning, I pray first of all for those that are here that don't know Christ. I pray that they claim the promises. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I pray, Father, if there's just one person here that's not claimed those promises, they'd come in just a few minutes and we could take the Bible and show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, you know our hearts. You know what has us discouraged. You know what has broken our hearts. And I pray, Father, that we remember and we claim the promises that are in this book that you have for each one of us, knowing that you're a God that doesn't call back his words. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.